So while this loads, my name is Charlene Farrell McGeever, and I work for the Utah Department of Health. I work specifically for the CHIP and Medicaid programs, and I am the author of the state's Medicaid HIT plan. But I'm also a program manager for a CHIPRA quality demonstration grant that we received. That led to the SMHP work, and you'll see that in the presentation. There are a lot of high-tech programs right now happening in Utah, and I wanted to kind of show you how we positioned ourselves to receive a lot of the funding that was out there and still remains to be out there. So we have a HIT consortium, a governance consortium that's run by the executive, was founded by the former executive director of the Department of Health, Dr. David Sunwald, and is now being chaired by the deputy director, Dr. Bob Rolfs, who was our state epidemiologist. Utah has the Department of Health is a and the Division of Medicaid and CHIP are all within the same organization. So we have a deputy director who is the director of our Medicaid program, and then a deputy director who is the director of the public health programs. So we took this HIT consortium with major stakeholders in our community and really kind of came up with a strategy to pinpoint and bring in as much money of this high-tech money that we could to address the barriers that we knew we were facing within our communities. So, for instance, the cost of EHR adoption, we are looking to, right now, in the 2012 timeframe, bring in almost $10 million to help adopt electronic health records. We have our regional extension center is working side by side with me. They're basically my outreach communication and strategy tool to get to the Medicaid providers who are eligible for these incentives. The barriers to health information exchange, we have an HIE program, and we've brought in $6.3 million to support the development of our clinical health information exchange. We have the workforce program through the Salt Lake Community College, and they are now taking in students to learn how to implement electronic medical records so that the practices don't have to stop treating patients. They actually will consult with those who have been trained to support the electronic medical record systems, get them to learn how to, get them to pull quality data out of their EMRs and send that information through our HIE. And then finally, we have two other specific demonstration grants in Utah, the Beacon Community Grant, which focuses on adult diabetes management, and the CHIPRA Quality Demonstration Grant, which is developing medical homes for CHIP and Medicaid kids in Utah and Idaho. And this just lists out some of our governance consortium members and liaison organizations so that you have an idea of who did we pull together to help provide us the guidance, the advice, and the buy-in to be able to, you know, go purposefully seek out those dollars and bring them to our community. And so within the Utah Department of Health, we have different organizations who have participated, and then the liaison organizations on the right-hand side consist of everything from tribal governments to all of our major healthcare associations that have a lobbying arm in the legislature and keep the legislature informed about what they would like to see happen with regards to health reform. So I just want to kind of give you a wrap up of 2011 Utah HIT efforts year to date, specifically focusing on EHR adoption, our meaningful use incentives, our clinical health information network, which is the CHI, show you what the CHIPRA Beacon and eHealthy Communities are all about in Utah, and finally touch a little bit on Utah's health insurance exchange. We're one of two states, Utah and Massachusetts, to have an operable health information or health insurance exchange, and I'm going to probably mess up those words. I'll try not to. The Utah Health Insurance Exchange is going through a transition period now as well, and so I have some information about that. Utah really has a high proportion of EHR adoption within the state. It's not certified EHR technology, and the reason for that is because we have a major healthcare system known as Intermountain Healthcare System. Owns 25 hospitals, a bunch of clinics, and they have electronic health information records in their system, and so they contribute to why we look so high, but their system is not certified. They are working to get it certified, and once they have that certification, they'll be applying for the meaningful use incentives, and it'll increase that 10 million number to almost $60 million that we'll be paying out in the way of incentives to those providers. And this shows you the difference between physician offices and hospitals. So our hospitals, they basically have EHR. There's a few that do not. And then within the physician offices, almost 75%. So, you know, basically 3 out of 4. We have our regional extension center. It's Health Insight. They're also the Medicare QIO. And they serve as our meeting ground for the HIT consortium. They also are tasked with our health reform task force in chairing what's called a Utah's Partnership for Value-Driven Health Information Technology Task Force. And Health Insight is currently working with practices to help them apply for their Medicare or Medicaid HIT incentives. The goal right now is to get, they actually do have 560 providers, 110 practices across the state going through either the selection process or implementing their EHR so that they can attest to meaningful use. And they are my community outreach and education plan. They work with all of our providers. We've worked hand in glove. I've given them lists of my top Medicaid billing providers, and they've gone out and explained the programs to them, worked with them side by side, and participate in our statewide Medicaid training program whenever called upon. I just got to hire 2 staff with the high-tech money, and they're actually training my staff on meaningful use objectives. That's how closely we work together. And they have about 250 slots remaining for primary care waiver, so the primary care offices can receive this technical assistance from Health Insight free of charge. In the essence of time, I'm going to probably go through a few of these slides pretty quickly. We are prepared to take applications for the Medicaid incentives. This probably should have been changed to October because we're not launching September 6th, we're launching October 5th. And as I mentioned, Utah's Regional Extension Center was provided this list of Medicaid providers. They went out and basically walked them through what the expectations are with regards to applying for the incentives. And the HIT staff, program staff that we've hired, are being trained by Health Insight before the program launches. The 3 public health meaningful use measures that we've been focusing on are the state immunization registry. We actually are able to receive and have received test transactions to from eligible providers on Medicare and Medicaid through ARCHI, as well as our immunization program has grants that will help build the interfaces for the providers so that their EMR can send the HL7 messages directly to the USIS immunization registry. Our communicable disease surveillance program will be up and ready to receive electronic lab reporting by September 2011, and providers can make public health reports through a certified EHR or the CHI with the lab results in addition to the immunization results. So as I was talking about, our statewide clinical health information exchange. It was the second state. We were the second state approved for implementation. I think Delaware was the first. you know, our CHI just went through a major change in that it was a opt-out and now is an opt-in, and that was a legislative change that happened. So one of the first projects that I am going to be writing and into my IAPD for my state Medicaid HIP plan is to take the CHI consent forms that are now required by law to put them out on our MyCase portal. And our My Case portal is run by the Department of Workforce Services, which does combined eligibility for medical assistance, food stamps, TANF, child care services. So we do have one portal for constituents within the state of Utah to make an application for those services. And once they have been approved for those services, they have access to what's called My Case. And this My Case is an internet web portal that they can see their information with regards to their benefits. They can upload information to support their application, and that system is maintained within the Department of Workforce Services that also does unemployment compensation and things and helps people find work. So I'm writing to within my IAPD, the concept, and we've been planning this for a little while, of what it's going to take to be able to show the CHI opt-in consent form through My Case so that the Medicaid member whose identity has already been authenticated when they logged into My Case would then be able to have their information pushed into the Health Information Exchange. And the reason that that's beneficial is Medicaid has been working to put the members' medication histories back into the CHI from the opposite direction. And so then if they do opt in, providers who look at the CHI for information will be able to find the patient's medication histories that Medicaid has paid for and what prescriptions they've paid for. But the CHI is kind of small, and I wanted to kind of just show you that there are only about 10 sites within the state that are in production. But we have a lot of work that's going on where we're bringing new providers on board. And as far as electronic health records actually being connected to the CHI, we only have two. But again, we're working with about 30 vendors. The CHI is actually run by a statewide designated HIE vendor, and that vendor is the same vendor that's up in Idaho. And with the CHIPRA quality demonstration grant, what we did was we started to leverage funds so that we can, whatever we build in Utah, will also apply in Idaho for the CHIP and Medicaid kits. So these slides talk specifically about the HIT objectives that are within our CHIPRA quality demonstration grant. Notice how I didn't, in the CHI, their Intermountain Healthcare is not connected to the CHI. Their system is called HELP2. And so we know that we have to work with both systems, the CHI and Intermountain system, because Intermountain owns the primary children's hospital within the state of Utah, and it's also the tertiary unit for Idaho. So we are collaborating with IHC's informatics staff to be able to grant access to HELP2 by using their message log capabilities, and it's a secure messaging system so that if a child shows up at primary children's and is seen by a specialist, the primary care physician will have access to the specialist's notes. And we are developing interfaces between Utah and Idaho's health information exchanges, specifically focusing on our immunization registries. We've done an analysis at this point to find out that the state statutes for Idaho are a little bit different on who has access to the immunization records, so they need to make some changes to their laws to be able to then facilitate having our laws be comparable. And we have a website that's been developed by the University of Utah called the Medical Home Portal. It provides information and supportive services and resources to patients, and we are bringing in the 211 services from Idaho into the Medical Home Portal as a part of the collaboration. And then finally, we are developing a pediatric patient summary tool that's going to collect and filter and collate the most important relevant information and put it into the HIE to assist clinicians. And we've hired an informaticist to be able to help us gather this information. So how we are pushing out the information with regards to training on the HELP2 is we've developed a computer-based training module, and we've tested it with the 12 medical home demonstration sites that are currently in our medical home demonstration practice And then we'll launch this also in Idaho as well, as soon as they pick their practices. We've been successful in delivering an HL7 immunization record successfully through the CHI2 USIS, which is Utah's Immunization Registry. And as we progress, we hope that our medical home portal website will be able to further enhance Idaho's services so that they have a one-click place to find all of the supportive services that go with, that educate patients on what's available to them. The PPS development team, like I said, we just hired a MD, PhD informaticist. He's leading the development with regards to this and bringing in a lot of useful information telling us, stay away from this, keep this, stay away from this, keep this. We did figure out, and we have pointed this out to Intermountain, that their message log system doesn't offer the ability to have an alert. So if you're a primary care provider and you're not part of IHC system and you don't get an alert, you're not going to know that one of your patients was recently seen there and seen, and why that patient was seen there. And so we're looking at options to improve the accessibility with regards to that. I mentioned that the Idaho's state immunization registry laws, they're a little bit different than Utah's, and they're going to have some work to making that out. And then using the same HIE vendor, we thought that that was going to actually be a good thing where we could leverage funding, but it's presented some unintended consequences. We've been on some conference calls, and we say things like, well, you know, Utah already paid for that. Why does Idaho have to pay for that? And it's ruffled some feathers. Utah has a beacon community. It's led by Health Insight, which, again, is that regional extension center. And their goals are to utilize technology and improve delivery health outcomes, specifically in diabetes management. So they are partnering with some of the same people that the CHIPR quality demonstration partners with: Intermountain Healthcare, UHIN, the Department of Health, the University of Utah, and a few other agencies. And they are specifically targeting patients with diabetes too, in the Salt Lake Metropolitan Service Area, which includes Tooele County and Summit. So from Park City all the way out to the West Desert. They have 57 compacts signed, 14 clinics have expressed intentions to sign, and they've done assessments for at least 29 of those clinics. They are doing a great job of engaging the patients and using some models to try to improve their EHR and A1C testing. Their lessons learned: they realized that owning an EHR doesn't mean using an EHR effectively, so they have been bringing in their REC folks to help provide that technical assistance, and that the standards for interoperability, that's really been their biggest bottleneck. They are noticing that providers are weary about sharing their data, and so we take that into consideration, that even if you provided the solution, the providers may or may not wish to participate on the... this is really hard to see, but I brought a big one in case anybody wanted to take a look at it. This is the Charter Value Exchange HIT Task Force focus, and all the different tasks with regards to what we're actually hoping to accomplish with the HIT dollars that we have been so successful to bringing into the state. And the focus areas are consumer engagement, provider quality data, meaningful use, and care process redesign. So that means everything involving HIE connectivity, quality reporting, and adoption of EHRs. And then we have a payment transformation, which includes ACO work and Medicaid. And finally, we have telehealth, which is a big part of what we've been working on with most of the rural areas, and then public health HIE information, which the next version of my SMHP will be planning with my public health partners to look at all the public health opportunities. And we're truly jointly developing a Medicaid public health IAPD to fund all the different initiatives. With that, there's still going to be a cost allocation that we will look at very closely, but we are working very closely to partner with our public health folks and find out what projects and what dollars can we bring in specifically to help you. The other thing that we're doing, and I just wanted to show you that we're bringing it not just on the state level but on a local level, is working with our local health departments to come up with ways to give them data whereby they can have these e-healthy community meetings. And the focus of the meetings are going to involve patients, providers, and policymakers in these meetings to tell us what they see we should do with additional funding should we be fortunate enough to bring it in and make changes on the local level. So we hope that the first one of these meetings, Health Insight is actually going to schedule it in September, and they are working with Davis County, which is north of Salt Lake, and they've gone through and they've actually looked at the e-prescribing that's going on within Davis County. And the hope is that they'll come up with a community-based action plan that will meet the need of that community to see what they can do to improve e-prescribing within that very particular local health district. So that's just one example of something that's kind of happening within Utah where the state supports it, the local health departments are interested in it, the Health Insight is going to provide the technical assistance for it. I think these last few slides just kind of wrap things up on where we stand with regards to progress. And, you know, we really do feel like we're heading in the right direction. We hope that we will have, if not 100%, which we know we won't be able to get, but at least 80 to 90% EHR adoption throughout the state. We're working very closely with our providers to make sure that they understand what EHR certification is all about and what we hope to do in consuming the data that they then can put into that EHR system, and that Utah's been recognized and the work that we're doing within the Beacon and Chipper communities we hope to publish so that people understand that we have really been fortunate enough, but we continue to collaborate and cooperate with one another. These last two slides talk about our health insurance exchange. And the current version is one where we have it's only open to small businesses who wish to offer health insurance to their employees, but they can't afford the high premium, so they've defined a contribution that they are willing to give each employee, and then that employee is allowed to go and shop for health insurance. They have an opportunity to pick from, I think, almost 100 different plans, all five major carriers. And right now, there's just a link that if that person needs financial assistance to purchase health insurance beyond the defined contribution, they can make an application for medical assistance through DWS's EREP program. Work right now is happening so that these employees can come into the exchange website and be offered actual links that will interface with the public assistance programs. So there'll be a screening tool that it links into. It will ask them if they need help. It will send over their data. And if the person clicks and says that they do want to apply for public assistance, that information would be transferred to the Department of Workforce Services online application. Determined eligible, opened up a My Case for that web portal for them to be able to check the status of their information. And if the determination is that they are eligible, then their information would go back to the exchange so that we could do premium reimbursement. Utah's had a premium reimbursement program for quite some time, but there's only about 700 lives covered on it. So we're hoping that if we do this and we find those families who are eligible for premium reimbursement and they're eligible for their employer's plan, we can help them recoup the costs of the premium. The rest of the slides, they're just basic. So I'm going to stop there at this point, just in the essence of time, and answer or turn it over to Martin so that he can finish up his part of the presentation. Then we'll be able to take some questions. Okay.